We find ourselves in the middle of a sermon series called Like a Garden. Like a Garden. And for the last few weeks, we've been taking a different look at stories in the Bible and all around us in God's creation that remind us about our faith and how we can grow in faith. And today, believe it or not, they let the youth director preach about sin. So here we are. Today we're talking about the often meticulous task of weeding and pruning. Now I'd have to admit, I am not much of a green thumb by any means, but I have some landscaping. And for most of the summer, I've avoided eye contact with that landscaping. You know where I'm going. Early in the springtime, things sprouted up. And every day as I walked from my house to my garage to get in my car, I avoided the inevitable weeds. These plants that even if you don't look at them, even if you don't nurture them or water them, they still persist in 103 degree heat. Weeds. Weeds that can go from a flower to a forest in about a day and a half. Weeds that can kill out everything in its path. Weeds. So oftentimes we find ourselves in a garden. We find ourselves in our own garden of life. And there are weeds. Now, there's a lot of great plants. I can imagine right now, if you want to imagine with me, what would your garden look like? Not your literal garden. We don't have to go there. But what would your garden of life look like? For many of us, there would be a large, established, probably tree in the middle. One of faith and family, deeply rooted. It probably is a tree somewhere in your garden or a plant of sorts of your job. Your career, that which brings maybe some meaning and purpose in your life. There's probably this other vine-like plant of your faith that connects into and weaves in and out of plants, pushing you out into this world. But there still are weeds. There still are weeds. Weeding is the process that our faith calls us to do to discern what is worth having in our life. And oftentimes it's the unfavorable task of going plant by plant in our lives. And it's pretty easy to see the weeds out in the world, right? Well, usually. There's these very obvious thorns of hate or discrimination. And sometimes we think, if I don't look at it, or if I don't talk about it, maybe it will just go away. But weeds thrive even in the harsh conditions. But see, there's also the weeds that we often don't realize are that. I was talking with a coworker the other day. She said, you know, I have a rule now that my husband can't be in the garden. You know where this is going already. She said, I was walking out into our flower plot, beautiful flower pot the other day, and my husband... whenever you get those shears in your hand, you just have this weird sense of power that you can't handle. And he's just chopping away. And lo and behold, he chops something. He raised up, kind of proud of his masculinity. He says, look at this thing I cut down. She said, well, what is that? He said, well, I cut down a weed. She said, no, that's actually a flower. Right? Oftentimes, many of the weeds are obvious. Many of these weeds grow, and they snuff out all life around it. And they have no order or direction, and they create chaos. But there's also the weeds that deceive you. The weeds that sneak in to the flowers. And sometimes you kill that which isn't a weed, and you let the weed thrive instead. But you know, this weeding doesn't just take place out in this world. It's not just that person or my neighbor's problem or I'm in my neighbor's lawn. It actually begins and starts with us. The pruning. I love how John 15 tells it. Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branch, and God is the vine grower. And he prunes those branches which produce fruit, and he gets rid of those branches which are unneeded, so that great good fruit may dwell on those branches. Now you might not know much about grapes, or much about vines at all, and I don't either, but I did a little research, and the thing about vines is this. And Jesus and the people in Jesus' time knew it, that vines go wherever you tell them to go. And if you don't tell them to go anywhere, they will go everywhere. That vines have a way of stretching themselves so thin that any of the fruit they produce becomes unusable and undesirable. And so the job of any vine grower was a meticulous, very discerning task to decide what limbs to keep and what limbs to cut off. And that's not always pretty work. It's not always fun work. But it begins within us. It begins with us having the humility and the honesty, the vulnerability to ask, how does God's word and will work in my life to make me a vine that produces good fruit? Fruit which is love and grace, fruit which is justice and mercy and peace for a world that so often eats overproduced food and not real fruit. What does that look like for you? And the good news is that we're not at it alone. I counted, and I might be wrong. You can call me out later if I am, but for now, just let me go. Hopefully I'm right. But I think there's at least 8 times in which the word abide is written in these 8 verses. Something's going on here. Jesus thought it was important enough to be very redundant and use the word abide. 8 different times he said, abide in me as I abide in you. Just as a branch abides in its vine, just as you shall abide in me, and you shall produce great fruit. Jesus reminded us that we're not at it alone. The task of standing up to the weeds, the task of discerning what is needed and not needed in our life, the task of being directed by God's Spirit in our life is a task which we do not do alone. So may we abide in Christ. May our plants dwell deeply rooted in Christ so that when we see the weeds, we'll actually pick them. And when our branches are spread too thin, we will be open to being pruned so that we may produce fruit, good, desirable fruit of love and justice and peace and mercy for this whole world that often needs it. Amen.